This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. There's more at my website, allbook-books.com. And just to add a note to from last week's show, I mentioned the Burning Man and the Leave No Trace, and there was reportedly refuse left there. Well, then I read an article at the Burning Man website that people had gone back to clean up their traces or to clean up the mess. So that's good to hear. That would take more investigating to know exactly how no trace or not it is, but at least I was pleased to see that there was that effort to go back and clean up. Okay, I just did a bit of lawn mowing, and with a reel mower. That's R-E-E-L. So this is not so much an advertisement as a commentary, because of the recent review of the Rape of the Mind book about brainwashing. So several of the reasons why I prefer the non-gas powered reel mower is that, number one, no loud noise, just a little clickety clickety of the little, whatever you call it, spinning round and round the gears or whatever, and no fumes in my face, and no use of gasoline. Oh, it's only a little bit of gasoline to mow a lawn, but okay, let's magnify that by however many million people in the U.S. And just to make a stark comparison, the U.S. went to Iraq, started wars there for oil, basically. And that's actually, if you remember, originally, I think it was George W. Bush had called it Operation Iraqi Liberation. Whoops! The acronym is OIL, so they had to change it. I think it was changed to Freedom or something like that. Anyway, that's part of the segue into today's topic of how people get all hooked and keeping up with the Joneses. And I think this keeping up with the Joneses thing that started, you could trace it wherever, but I'm just going to trace it to my poster boy for U.S. suburban brainwashing is the dandelion, which in the 1950s, the chemical companies changed it from a dandelion medicine, which the native peoples would call it a medicine. I drink it often. And they turned it into a weed, and it had to be eradicated from the lawns. So it was basically genocidal tactics towards the dandelion. But so they keeping up and then selling the products, obviously, and on with that stuff. But the point here is that it was keeping up with the Joneses. So now fast forward to the technology, no pun intended, because the technology is fast, and people who are forward thinking and always looking to the next thing have to keep up with it. So keeping up with the Joneses became keeping up with the Jones technology. But the deeper point I'm making is that sometimes when I'm writing, I feel like in some ways a lawyer, because I'm trying to make a point, a case, and I'll think about it and I'll find the right quote or the right way to say it or the right way to segue or whatever, and I'll wrap it all up in a bow and think, wow, now I've made a convincing case, and maybe I have, but of course, only those with ears to hear will hear it. And others might find it interesting, others might disagree, might plant a seed, whatever. What happens when you put anything out there, myriad possibilities of what you're doing. But the thing is that if it's not keeping up with the Joneses, and not constantly with the technology, there's a sense of having to report on what one has done. And I want to contrast this with personally I would call spiritual path, or I like to call spiritual holistic path, because it's not just spiritual, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, touches with the earth, so it's a holistic spiritual path. But oftentimes in my experience, that the path is, depending on the moment, it could be a feeling of aloneness, or sometimes even facing loneliness and making peace with that. But aloneness is part of going one's own way, which is not, I don't mean that in an egotistical way, but it's kind of tuning out tuning out everything in a way to find another voice, whether that voice is within you or that voice is of the earth or the voices of the spirits or the voice right now. I'm listening to the sort of piercingly high but not too loud. It's a nice background cricket chorus. So that's the voice of this season. When I sit outside in the evening, I hear that. So oftentimes that is a lonely thing, or also just in a day-to-day experience in a more mundane way, one could ask the question, why do you have to share with somebody else? Obviously, sometimes it's a simple joy to share, like, wow, I just saw a beautiful scenario, I took a photo, I want to share it with someone. I just had a beautiful experience, I wrote a beautiful poem, I want to share it with someone. I totally get that, that's totally understandable. But the other half of that equation, a kind of yin-yang, is what if I just let myself experience that? Why do I have to share that? Why do I have to? And sometimes I realize, wait a minute, how many more poems, how many more photos am I going to send somebody? Like, they already got a bunch today, so okay, why don't I just experience this one for myself, in quotes. So that's my question. I don't have as much a point today as I sometimes do, as a kind of lawyery energy of writing and making the case in point, especially in nonfiction. But that the point I wanted to stir up today was this the incessant need to report on things, and that I think there needs to be a balance. But I'm interested in what other people think of that, because I think that, you know, the incessant need to report on stuff, then in some way I think it cuts off from somebody having that deeper inner experience. That's my opinion on that, is that it can get in the way of somebody truly getting something or whatever it is that they might get when they're, quote, alone. Because then it really hits home, it sinks in. Whereas if you experience it and then report it to somebody else, that the reporting becomes the thing. And then somebody responds, and they're like, oh, great, they responded, that's nice, and then, oh, yeah, you're great, or you suck, or whatever. It's like that becomes the dynamic, and it becomes a kind of insular thing, whereas the deeper, I think, another layer, in a way, deeper, not that the other isn't deep to share with people, but it's a deeper personal self-growing happens when one can just know within oneself what is going on, or what one personally needs to know. Perhaps then it is something to share, but not necessarily right away. So I know I'm talking a little bit rambly in loops about the topic, but I'm trying to convey the that sense of the balance of that inner and outer, you know, inner and outer expression and experience, self-expression and experience, as it integrates with everyone else. And sometimes, you know, the in different times in our lives, we are faced with things that are alone, in quotes. And so I think if my concern with younger generations now is, if there isn't that training, then, you know, in those experiences, what will happen? Like, that was those kids that were lost in the Amazon rainforest. That was an amazing story, because it wasn't the technology that found them. It was the local shaman who was able to discern where they were and able to find them, that the technology could not do it. So this is like this is the ancient way, but it's also kind of the backup mode in nowadays, that being able to have a response, an inner response team that is not incessantly reliant on the gadgets and on communicating to other people. So now the chorus of crickets has turned to a little bit of a wind and a light rain coming in. So that will do it for this episode of Get Lit with Literature, and I appreciate you listening, and feel free to chime in on the topic. So thank you much, and be well.